I'm joined now by Mohammed Salim Patel. Mohammed is something of a pioneer. He's set to become the first man in the UK to have an assistance horse. Hello, Mohammed.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm not too bad.
This is exciting news. How did this come about, Mohammed?
It is. It's very exciting and quite unique.
Definitely. How did you hear about it in the first place?
So, about 3 years ago, I saw a documentary on television about American miniature horses being guide animals for people in America. I actually had to watch it twice because I thought, hang on, this can't be right. How does that work? But I was just amazed by the idea, and I've grown up with a phobia of dogs, and that's meant that I've not been able to utilise the benefits that a guide dog brings to other people
sure.
in my situation. And I thought, well, if this is possible to have an American miniature horse be a guide animal, then why don't I look into doing that in the UK? Now, when I did, approach various organisations and ask the question, is this going to happen? I was told, no, you can forget about this. It's never going to happen. So back then, I literally gave up on ever being able to use an assistance animal up until last year. So I saw a BBC News article about Katie Smith, who's training Digby. But that article was more so about her therapy horses, which she uses to go into care homes and schools for people that need it.
Okay.
There was a line in the article which said she's looking to train up Digby, who wasn't born at the time, into a guide horse. And being the person I am, I literally snapped up that opportunity, contacted Katie as soon as I read it and said I'd love to be the first recipient. And since, we've just been working together to make this a reality.
And have you met Digby yet, Mohammed?
I've met Digby, yeah. We've only met twice, but we've already bonded. And from speaking to people that know horses and know all about them, apparently if a horse stays stood next to you and kind of rubs their neck against you, that means that they're comfortable around you and that they know you and remember you.
Well, that's a good start.
Absolutely. I think one of the sweetest things was the last time I met him, which was about last week, he didn't actually want to leave. He saw me kind of walking past him to get my jacket and just wouldn't go into the lift.
Wow.
So I think that bond has already been created, and I just can't wait to carry on this journey.
Now, when you think horse, you tend to think of a big strapping beast. He's not that at all, is he? Can you describe him, please?
He's not. So I'm about 5'7", and he comes up to just below my hip. So in terms of height, he's about 30 inches, which is about 2 feet tall. Basically, a big dog is how I'd describe him. He is slightly bigger than other American miniatures. So others come to around about 26 inches, but he's about 29, 30. But still, got the right build to be able to do the job that's required.
So what things are you going to need him for, Mohammed? What is your sight condition?
So I suffer from retinitis pigmentosa, and with it being a degenerative condition, I've actually lost the majority of my sight. The only sight that I do have now is some central vision in my right eye, but with the nature of RP, that'll go at some point as well. What he will give me is the ability to become independent, to have a life, to have a social life, to do things that I want to do. At the minute, I'm very much reliant on waiting for people to approach me to say, do you want to go here or do you want to do this? Or ringing family and friends to say, have you got the time to take me here? Digby would completely alleviate that because, so long as he's rested and happy, I just have to put his harness on and off we go and do what we want to do.
What mobility do you use at the moment?
I use a long cane and also in and around work, I have a support worker that provides me with sighted guide and visual assistance.
And you're a broadcast journalist at BBC Northwest, aren't you? So has the staff there met him yet? I take it they've heard all about him anyway.
Oh, absolutely. It's the talk of the town, as they say, and they're just so excited. They have met him. They're more excited than me, to be perfectly honest with you. They're just amazed at the idea, and they're really open to what he's going to be able to do for me. And, I'm quite humbled and lucky that they are of that mindset. And he's going to allow me to do so much. And it's not just the fact that he's going to, give me independence. It's about bonding. And it's about, having a companion there as well. And
definitely.
Yeah, it'll be something for life because a guide horse can work up to 40 to 50 years old, in comparison to a guide dog.
If you're two or three.
Work, 8 to 10. Yeah. It's a long-term thing. And I'm sure it's going to, be proven successful as it has been in America. And we've already had interest from, 5 or 6 people that are blind, that are in my situation, who have shown an interest in, wanting a guide horse if all goes well with Digby.
Brilliant. Where will he stay? Where will he sleep at night?
So with him being an American Leaper, he doesn't require as big a stable as a normal horse would.
Okay.
So I've got enough space in my garden to build him, you know, an 8-foot by 8-foot stable. You need something that's 6-foot by 6, but, you know, because the room is there, why not build him something, you know, bigger? And I'm fortunate enough that, you know, I've got kind of farms and grassland, which is, you know, a couple of streets away from me. There's stables that are a couple of miles away as well. So, you know, there's plenty of space for him to do what horses need to do. And, you know, that's where he'd stay and live.
Best of both worlds.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Now, I mentioned in my intro you've been something of a pioneer.
Mm.
That also has a flip side, because I'm sure you're going to face some discrimination. Obviously,
absolutely,
doing this show, we speak to guide dog owners that face it on a daily basis. Are you preparing yourself for that, Mohammed?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be, you know, a quick answer to everything. It's a long-term thing that we're looking to do. I'm sure in terms of the description aspect, when guide dogs were first introduced to this country, I'm sure there were people that were against the idea and thought that that was cruel. People are going to say the same about Digby, but I think those people won't really change their mind. At the end of the day, what this boils down to is we're not trying to take away from what guide dogs do or what they provide. It's simply looking at that alternative for people like me that can't use a guide dog, that can use a horse. But we're working on, you know, getting legislation amended, so the Equality Act 2010, looking to amend Section 20, which specifies assistance dogs being allowed into public places. You know, and we've already got the Food Standards Agency on board, who have said that they have no issues in Digby going into, you know, front house establishments like cafes and restaurants.
That's pretty positive, isn't it?
It is, and I'm quite humbled that, you know, even when we approached the Environment Agency, the International Guide Dogs Federation, for accreditation, they were open-minded. You know, they didn't say, sorry, we're not helping you, go away type thing. It's a case of, well, you know, work together to see if we can make this possible, and you know, we will hopefully do that and make this a reality.
And the fact you've got such a massive organisation like BBC giving backing as well,
yeah,
that's got to have a positive effect. I actually spoke to Digby's trainer Katie Smith earlier. I asked her for a little bit of comment around discrimination. This is what she had to say.
I think you'll probably get quite a few harsh words, as well as other probably softer words, but this is where we're involved. My MP, Rishi Sunak, has very kindly got us involved with the Chartered Institute of Environmental Health, and where they can change the policies, wording on assisted animals, like guide dogs, to include animals, which we're hoping to do. So that'll give us a bigger backing and a more ammunition, if you'd like, to say guide horses and guide dogs should be able to go into and onto public transport without any arguments or any people saying you can't do that or I'm not taking you on there. Because if the policies and the regulations are changed, then it's good all round, because nobody can argue with them because it's in black and white. And then with Digby's training, as he's only 9 months old, he's in the like the puppy walking stage of a guide dog's training. Mm-hmm. So where he's learning basic commands, should we say, like forward, straight on, right, left, stand, sideways, and getting him to look for a door. He's also learning the first very early stages of how to lie down, so it will be easier when he goes into smaller establishments, so he can lie down and be out of the way like a guide dog. But bigger guide dogs, from what I can gather, don't have to lie down. They just stand by the chair, tucked in. So Digby's training's going very well. He's a quick learner and he remembers well and he wants to do it, which is the greatest thing that you can have.
That was Katie Smith there, Digby's trainer, talking about potential discrimination and also talking about how the training's coming on. When will you actually get Digby then?
So Digby is currently 9 months old, and you know, a guide dog takes about 2 or 3 years to, well, 2 years to be trained and,
yeah,
and before it's passed on. Digby would be ready in 2 years. That's been proven by the American model. However, with this being the first time we've done it and obviously a lot of hurdles to overcome, we've set aside about 3 years. So it'd be about 3 years before Digby's actually paired with me, unless obviously everything goes really smoothly and well, and then, you know, he might be well be with me earlier than that. With America being, you know, the first place that has actually made this happen, and America's into the third year of its guide horse program, Katie is trying to raise funds to try and get out there so that she can just look at, you know, how they do things and then introduce that into the program that she's got. And the funding page for that is gofundme.com/digbyguidehorse.
Well, I wish you all the luck with it. I hope you get them sooner because I can't wait to speak to you again. In the meantime, Mohammed Salim Patel, thank you very much for talking to us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me on.